Welcome everyone. Let's begin our work session. So we hope to get down there in time before 6 o'clock. We'd like to welcome Jeremy with us. Thank you. You want to turn around and say hi to the ones in the back? Anything you want to?
Just real quick, you just introduce yourselves. Is that okay?
Sure.
Just real quick, your name and where, what you're over.
Tim Peters, Executive Director of Career and Technical Education.
Vincent Arbizon's Town Administrator.
Keith Chow, Chief Technical Officer.
Adam McMichael, Director of Student Achievement.
Sarah Roberts, Executive Director for Instructional Leadership.
Hi, Sandra Zolovich, Teachers Day Young. I'm the Executive Director, Equity and Access.
Ken Crawford, Director of Support Services and Athletics.
Jeff Parker, Assistant Superintendent.
And you've met Jessica, I believe, haven't you?
Thank you. Rich and I. Name also name. Thanks for being here, everybody. Let's quickly go through and see what's on the agenda. I don't see Jer back, so do we know if everyone's going to be here as far as student of the month? Superintendent, you mentioned you have the district holiday arts contest. Wonder if you can do that as part of your celebration, or just do that in lieu of your celebration.
Either way, I do have one item for celebration that's not that, but I'll keep it brief regarding Mount Forest Innovation Center and the award we received for that. So
if I remember, we'll switch B and C. We'll just do that. We'll do the academic state people right after marching band, and then you do your cards and be right at your celebration.
Okay.
Sure, I'll forget. Consent calendar items. Well, let's see. Any questions regarding anything listed in the consent calendar from anyone? We're okay with.
I did reach out to Steve Paul on the dance travel. Just asking what place they were going to see. Why didn't they invite me?
That's a legitimate question. I hope you had a good answer. You didn't.
I just, and who made the decisions, but they're going to see Aladdin pretty safe.
Mm-hmm.
And they're working with the dance company from that's doing Aladdin.
Sounds good to you. I mean,
yeah.
That would be a good opportunity for you.
Yes.
And we do have an administrative appointment that we'll take care of tonight. Mm-hmm. So, Vince, good luck.
Yeah.
I mean, with us supporting you. Good luck with that. I didn't see any mint brownies, so you're already in a lot of
trouble.
We'll have the superintendent reports, business administrator reports, and you guys pressing that.
I was just going to say my report will be the audit report.
Oh, good. Okay. You want to just tell them briefly what we went through the other day?
I can.
Okay.
We had a meeting of the audit committee yesterday morning, bright and early.
That was yesterday, huh? A lot of water.
After I retired, I forgot it was a Saturday.
Felt like a week ago, right? Where we met with our auditor and went through the financial report with the audit committee, who is Don and Joyce and Jeremy. They will be there tonight. You should have received in the board packet a copy of the audit report, financial report, as well as a copy of the slide presentation that we'll go through tonight with everyone. And then, we'll just need to take action on that at that point.
So you're just going to turn it over to them, or you'd be as far as...
I think I'll just turn it over to Paul.
Okay.
I have the slide presentation that I can go through for the rest of the public if they want to see it. So.
All right. When do you think we will take?
I'm guessing all of 12 minutes.
Thank you.
up and do that right off the bat. That's fabulous.
So was it just three areas? The Innovation Center and then the two separate labs?
Yeah, so we have a makerspace, a Mac lab, and a 3D printing lab as well. And we anticipate, and when you saw that, about 50,000 people have already expressed interest in donating a significant amount of money, $50,000 for room and for kids. And we do in kind just put out a nice little plaque right outside the front of the, that room with their name on it and recognize them for their meaningful contribution.
And it's not golden or black.
Yeah, I know it's chocolate.
Oh, wait. Too late for that.
Donuts, no tricks, bad.
We're like, okay.
Yeah,
I know.
Thinking school colors, no, they can't be gold and black. No, all right.
Dog.
All right, I'm with you.
Thanks, Jennifer.
I knew what he was saying.
I have, I have three yellows and six chocolate ones in my house right now. They're so cute.
As far as
lab.
As far as item number four for the Cisco phone system changes, Casey, is that something you're over?
Yes.
Questions anybody may have with regards to that for Casey? You want to tell us briefly, Dan, what will be happening with this?
Yeah, so this is really a licensing restructuring as Cisco changes their model from a traditional seat license to a flex license, as they call it, for cloud, for a service, everything is a service model as they're moving towards. They're kind of putting a squeeze on traditional licensing. So by moving now, we avoid future cost increases that I've shown in the critical questions of $42,000 to $46,000. This will level that out for 5 to 8 years, and then still keep the cost per phone low.
Casey's really modest in this space. This has been a lot of work and a significant opportunity for our district. The cost avoidance, as we've talked about, and just general upkeep or upgrade to our current system that, again, is building in longevity and some cost avoidance features. And then that's a considerable amount of work. Casey and his team should be commended for making this happen.
Thank you. Comments, questions?
Do the current phones have that 911 capability, or is that just with the new one?
So the current phones are only supported on our current version of Call Manager. As we upgrade to two versions later in 4 years, the 856 phones we have right now will not work. So me and Zane have talked about building that longevity model into the phones as we replace them. The phones are 17, 18 years old, so we've definitely gotten our money's worth out of them. And then as Cisco changes the technology, we're looking to stretch that out to, I think the main thing is really the Cisco emergency responder feature. That's going to enhance the safety of the school and keep us compliant with the laws. One of the cool things about it, is from a technical aspect, is when once that's deployed, if any phone dials 911, it can alert the office or the head coach, so they can also plug into other procedures within the school.
Anything else? Not, it sure sounds like a consent calendar item that's right there. So, unless anything else, any other questions with consent calendar? If not, then we'll, after Zane will defer our committee reports. Anything anybody have to add since we met last?
No, we have met again. So
we met today.
Policy law have met.
Yeah.
But I mean, it'll
be brief.
Okay. Jen, you as well give a brief response. We did meet, didn't we?
Yeah, we met.
That was a long
that
time. Yeah, it was. Chad was involved. That's right.
It was very good.
It was yesterday.
It was a very good meeting.
It was incredible. I think lights opened up from on high, and it was just enlightening. Public participation. Anybody sign up?
Paula
of the audit report, as was mentioned, and we'll turn that over to you, and then let you just lead that. And when he gets through, if you'll remind us if nobody jumps on it as far as approving it, that would be appreciated. And then item two is a discussion with regards to T.O. Smith. Maybe I'll just go to three and four quickly and then maybe come back to that. Action item on item three is the K-12 assessment. Adam, what do you need to tell us over that?
Just a long-standing investment that the district makes in support of the schools. The assessment is a critical piece. We feel like it's worth our time to have a common assessment system. The unique thing here is we've disrupted the review cycle a little bit. We have a review cycle set up every 3 years. Typically, even if we keep the same assessment system, we'll kind of reevaluate its value within our district. Our current system has some issues that prompted us to engage in this process a year earlier, and so we went through an extensive RFP process and evaluation with the committee. We are very pleased with our new vendor that we selected, Edulastic, and we're excited to put them into action and plan over the next winter and spring, moving into full implementation in the fall. The nice thing is it's the highest RFP score I've ever seen in any of my evaluations of RFPs, and it had the best fee proposal score on top of it.
So best price plus best?
No, by far best price, by far best performance.
As I said, it's just a good example. As we look at this one specifically, where we evaluate our current services with current providers, current vendors, and if they're not doing what it is that we need them to do, or if it's not at a price point that makes sense to continue on that, we are quick to adjust nimble in that way, and thanks again to Adam and his team for leading that effort, keeping constant vigilance on the services we're receiving for our contracts and whether or not they're up to par with what we need. So.
Any other Utah districts using them?
Cash and Weber has just started as well, getting in contact with Edulastic, but Cash has been using them for just a little over a year throughout all their benchmarking.
Would anybody take offense if we move that up to a consent calendar item?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
Thanks. Let's thank this later.
I'm okay with that. May I make a request? We may have some committee members in the audience. If you could just add those to your celebration, perhaps.
Sure.
I can get you that list.
Yeah, that please do.
Okay.
That would be much appreciated. Don't want to skip over that, but if it's...
No, they put in a lot of work. A significant selection like this, we match that proportionally with effort, and they did it on a volunteer basis. So I just like to recognize them.
Maybe we'll move it up, and when it comes to that point, well, you know what, let's do it before. I think that's good.
My celebration.
Yeah,
good.
Your celebration. Good. Action item number four, course approval for math decision. Yes, what would you like to tell us about that item?
Actually, since we've been transitioning, I can speak. I'm taking over.
Can you do
I'm off the hook on this, but I would present...
Would you please speak in an accent? Okay.
You know what? I think I would get borderline offensive if I tried that. So, maybe not.
All right.
I give credits just like our other programs, in a similar sense to the assessment and data solutions. We're always investigating our current offerings as far as course offerings and curriculum, see where we need to make adjustments or improvements. Janine Montgomery, especially our specialist, our secondary math specialist, working with Karen Harrop in special education, they identified
what level does it provide for, say, Weaver State if they wanted to go to Weaver? It would not?
Yeah, this would not be a detriment to them at all. What it does is it focuses on more real-world applications,
so
business-oriented.
Okay.
I think we'll have the dialogue in public where you want to move to the consent calendar.
I'd say move it if it's, you know, as long as they understand it's directed to the pathway.
Are there others who've been involved with this as well that we should recognize?
No, you're fine. Unless you want to recognize your friend. But you're already doing that.
We're going to do that. I just wanted to ask.
Sure.
Okay. So, Adam,
yes.
Is this targeted to our 12th graders?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Yeah, that would be the primary audience. Students who may or may not have some disabilities identified through IEPs, those who are just struggling with, you know, the general pathway,
mm-hmm.
This is really geared toward them to prepare them for college or community or career.
And they get the same credit?
Same credit, yes. It fulfills that third math credit that's required by the state's graduation.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it would, even if they then would choose to go to a traditional four-year university, it would harm them all.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, let's jump back down now to action item two as far as discussion on the T.O. Smith Elementary project design. There's nothing new from information listed in talking with Chris Karchner. They're not going to bring anything up as much as just let us talk about it, and they're there to, if we have additional questions or things associated with them. So thoughts with regards to T.O. Smith?
Thought I had with it, and that's on the when they were showing on the three where that drive access drop off, that is no way to be able to do that if it was a four.
Correct.
The one on the north side of the school.
Yeah, the north side. Where drop it off pre-K.
Under that scenario, that's the work design drawing, so if you insisted on it. They'll find a way.
Yeah, there's a way. I mean, the main reason is because the kindergarten play area is to the east there. You could shift it around and have it cut into the place that where the some of the hardscape is, and you'd still be able to have a drop-off there.
Yeah, those were design drawings. They were just
yeah, I'm going to put it up on the screen real quick.
For prison.
We have a few minutes. I'm being ready. You can do it quick.
Do you have a Mac or a...
Yeah, why bother?
So
that, you know, that this is money that we intend to borrow to pay in full or in part the cost of these schools. So it's never been my impression that that set the budget for the projects. It set the limit for how much we were asking the voters to authorize to let us borrow using general obligation debt. And that's a big distinction.
Right. So
the budgets for these projects basically are set in a process that
mm-hmm.
we're going through with each of these buildings. And each one of them has its own, really, and that the voter, that the board actually, at the end of the day, gives a thumbs up on.
So are people going to be surprised one way or the other? If not, I don't think so, right?
With regards to the size of the school?
Well,
or the budget.
Depending on which way the board votes, are they going to be like, whoa, where did that come from? Or
well, I'll give you my opinion. I think for one, the process that we went through for Horace Mann was much more, there was a lot of effort to do that. It was community input. You know, with the exception of one meeting, TO, that's all we've had. And so for the community there is different than other parts of our city. For one, they're thrilled they're getting a new school. But for many of them, they're not thinking for Section 300 more kids to the area. And some of the feedback is, you know, that again, I'm hearing is the fact that, whoa, how come we don't get a chance to offer input? Pluses and minuses for that. So there's transparency that was talked about, you know, the other night when people said things. There's also a sense of we know better, and so we're just going to do it.
I
need another meeting.
I don't know if I want to do that, just in the sense that we're pushing it forward. Can leave for
am I here?
Time is precious with buildings. I mean,
it's important to do the right thing.
It is.
So Jeremy, the projects have gone up roughly 12% the last 2 years. So it's escalating pretty quick.
But do you want the public to think they're
well, you want their support,
I mean, they're. I know of one person who, I don't know if they'll show up tonight or not. Their voice, we didn't know that this was going to be, this is what we're going to get. I think they're thinking three, and if four comes their way, they're, for the reasons that have been mentioned previously, there's pluses and minuses I get at both and superintendent with regards to things we need to look at. But, I also think it's a little disingenuous to think that we said $25 million, but we're going to spend as much as it needs to be done. I think people really were, you said $25 million, and it's now 33. I think there's some disingenuous with that. I mean, that's legal fine print jargon to say that, in the sense where people are thinking, yeah, $25 million, whatever. I know that's
really
how I think.
Specify, if you look at the fifth, there's nothing specified money-wise for any of the projects.
So you don't think a TO area will say, look at Horace Mann and say, hey, they got a bigger school than we got?
I think
they'll
be happy to have a new building that doesn't leak.
The concern that I have is when we first started talking about the bond, the need for a bond to replace schools, the conversation was we have got to build slightly bigger schools and consolidate schools
mm-hmm.
and not have, it's too expensive, we can't afford it to keep little neighborhood schools in business. And so the idea was that the conversation, everything, was around, we're going to consolidate schools. So not all the schools will be replaced. You'll take maybe three old schools and build two new schools. Well, so if we're going to build TO, we're following through with that on Horace Mann. If we build TO to a three section, it fits them like a glove right now. So therefore, they don't fit into that whole plan and vision of school consolidation. So we're back to our neighborhood schools that are costing us too much to run that many of them.
Well, and I would say since that, what has happened since that dialogue? What did we add?
We passed a bond.
We also failed the bond.
Yeah, but then we passed it.
But
the only thing that we changed, the only thing that we changed is what was going to happen at Wasatch and Polk.
And thus the idea of the community school, and that really wasn't, that was a killer for that previous bond. So again, we're having the dialogue. I'm not sure the people in the community are thinking that. I'm just thinking, well, we're going to get a school that provides for some growth, but not another school. So
yeah, they're not going to, even as a fourth section, they're not going to be big enough to take on a whole another school. There's not enough room for them to take on a whole other school. That was never the plan. That was never the conversation. It was, we have got to go from, how many elementary schools do we have?
13. 14 at the time. Then we closed.
Looked like
we've got
to
lose three or four.
I thought we were going to go down to nine.
And you know, I mean, if board members decide that they want to vote to change that plan, that's up to the individual board members and their vote. But I'm just going off of what the original conception was, what the original conversation was, and to say that we didn't have transparency and we didn't give the public opportunity to voice their opinion. We went two rounds with public input. Two rounds of it.
I thought it was three, but anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway. That's funny.
But so that's where I am with it. It's like if the board wants to vote and say, okay, well, we're going to throw out the vision that we had when we first started, and we're going to go back to our neighborhood schools. Well, then we're being disingenuous to Horace Mann. And maybe we need to go back to Horace Mann and say, guess what? We changed our mind. We're not going to consolidate schools. We're going to go back to smaller neighborhood schools. So would you guys like to have your school be smaller now?
Ken, what did you say to people in the community of Horace Mann? Are they thrilled with it? The idea that they were getting new bridge there, they were, public input was they were thrilled with that.
Yeah.
That's one item we're looking at, but it's also how are we paying for it?
They're thrilled with a new school.
Both of them.
Yeah.
So the incremental cost going 3 to 4 is
4.2
issue.
So do you know how much?
From a tax standpoint, yes, it is.
I don't think so.
I can tell you.
You can tell me that, but you can also say how much more are we going to have to bond to pay the difference between these four schools and what over $87 million.
So
without a tax increase.
We have. I think we can build the whole thing. If you don't want to increase the tax rate, you won't have to. Should you? I think when you commit, that's a smart thing to do. But we have enough latitude within the levy that we have that if you're hell-bent on not raising the tax rate, you won't have to, and we can still afford it. The incremental cost between a 3 and 4 section school would cost, say, $3 or $4 million, and $3 or $4 million over 20 years is about $250,000 a year. If you bring that down to what does that mean to a person's tax rate, it's immaterial.
Well, and if you take into consideration that if we're going to go to building smaller schools, we have to build more of them, and that's going to be tens of millions of dollars more money.
We're still years. We're 10 years.
It still is what it is.
No, it's a 10.
Are we ready for this?
Well,
we have to be at 6 o'clock.
Hmm?
Yeah.
No, I mean, but are we ready? Do we need more time?
If you think you need more time to
come to a, looking over things, and with the exception of one email from me, I haven't contacted anybody per se. So it's not had dialogue and board leadership, but that's been it. So if you guys feel like you're ready to go, then that's what we'll do.
Do you think the community is ready?
Yeah.
They're ready. I mean,
if we decided on a 3 or a 4, are they going to be ready for
Okay, thank you.